over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. This is number 6 on this series. Lesson number 6. We dealt with how to deal with the past properly, how to have a positive expectation about the future, how to see yourself in God, having an attitude of gratitude. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And last week we talked about how to keep your eyes on the right thing. And I really, really encourage you to listen to last week's message. There was some vital information to help you in this particular area to keep your eyes on the right thing. Amen? Hallelujah. With all that stuff going around us, everything going around in the world today, we got to keep our eyes more focused on Jesus more than ever before. Can I have an amen? Amen. Now today I want to talk about a subject here, and we'll start reading in verse 6. That's Romans chapter 10 and verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, wait a minute, Brother Keith. I thought the word of faith started with Brother Hagin and Brother Copeland. The Apostle Paul. He said, we preach the word of faith. Actually, the word of God is the word of faith, because you cannot separate the word from faith. How many of you know that? You cannot separate faith. It's like trying to take the wet out of the water. It doesn't work. When you hear the word, it produces faith. Okay? So he said, we preached the word of faith. And then verse 9, and this is the essence of how that this works. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and notice this, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Did you notice that you're not saved without words? You cannot be saved without words. With the heart man believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There was a time in my life when I bowed my knee literally to the Lord and said with my mouth, Jesus, come into my heart. I'll never forget that. 1976, in the month of May, Memorial Day weekend. Praise God. At a youth camp that I was at. And somebody witnessed to me about this. Now, I grew up mainline religion. I knew religion, but I didn't know Jesus. Okay? And this changed my life. Now, I didn't understand everything, but I understood the fact that I prayed with this guy and prayed to receive Christ. And when I did that, I knew something drastically, dramatically happened on the inside of me. Okay? Now, I didn't understand a lot up here, but in my heart, I knew something changed. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You received that. I mean, something radically changed. I'll never forget that. And it was like this. The only way I could describe it was like this massive weight that was on my shoulders was lifted off, you know? And I was 16 years old at the time when this happened. And it changed my life. It changed the course of my life. Now, I wasn't in a good church until about 3 years later, okay? Because I went back to the church that I was out of, you know, and found out real quick that I didn't belong there anymore. Amen? In fact, the minister that was there actually found out that the youth group there received Jesus, he got up and taught against it. Think about that. The pastor of the church got up and taught against the new birth. They said it was radicalism, it was emotionalism and all this stuff. Well, about a year later, he's out of the ministry. Hallelujah. Because, see, he chose the ministry as a profession. Okay? He would get up there and talk out of Reader's Digest and quote all these natural things. Had nothing to do with the Word of God. Okay? It was just a profession. So he went into the accounting business. Praise God. That's probably where he belonged. Amen? But, you know, you can't get up and preach against the new birth and expect to be blessed. You with me now? What I would like to talk about today is, and now this would take months for me to go into detail with this. We're only going to hit one session today about this particular thing. I want to talk about, like I said, I'm talking about things that have been meaningful to me, powerful, things that have changed my life in the last 30 plus years. And here's another one that we're going to talk about today, and I know Lynn could vouch for the same thing, is the power of confessing God's word. Okay? The power. With the heart, man believes to righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Someone says, well, Keith, what is the biggest miracle that there is? Someone would say, well, a blind eye being opened. Others would say a lame man being healed, a crippled man being healed, right? Now, those are all miracles, but they are pale in comparison to the new birth. The new birth, the greatest, listen to this, the greatest miracle that exists can't even be seen with a natural eye. When you go from death unto life. The Bible says we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Amen. When we believe on Jesus, we make Him our Lord and our Savior. We go from spiritual death to spiritual life. Now, you can't see that with the naked eye. You can't see that under a microscope or a telescope or any other kind of scope except God's scope. And when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, He rescued you out of darkness. Your spirit was darkness. And then He put His light on the inside of you and you became the light of this world. Jesus said, you're the light of this world. So I want to make that clear because the confession of your mouth did the hard part first, did the biggest miracle first, and everything else after that flows on the same order, except it's on a lower order. Okay? Now, let me give you like this. Here's what the Lord spoke to my heart a number of years ago. I don't even know how long ago it was a number of years ago. But He spoke to my spirit, and I wrote this down, and such as I have, give I thee right now. You ready? The Lord said this, and He was teaching me about the power of confessing and the Word of God and so forth, you know. He said this, if the words of your mouth changed, now listen very carefully here. If you're going to hear anything, hear this today. If the words of your mouth changed your eternal destiny, how much more will the words of your mouth change the everyday affairs of your life? So I said, Jesus, come into my life. What happened? Greatest miracle ever took place. I was born again. I was born again. I came out of darkness into His light. Glory be to God. And that's the greatest miracle that there is. Now, if I was to drop dead right then, which I didn't, hallelujah, I'm still here, I would have gone directly to be with Jesus. Because I said, Jesus, I call upon, the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Well, if the greatest miracle already took place in your life by confessing with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, however you did that, maybe it might have been privately, it might have been with somebody else, might have been in a church service, whatever the case may be, you've already experienced the greatest miracle on planet Earth, the new birth. That's Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. What are the greater works? You know, Jesus couldn't get anybody born again while He was on this earth. Say what? That sounds like heresy to me. No. Listen, Jesus, the new birth could not take place until after Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, the people in the Old Testament had a promissory note. There was a temporary holding place for them if they died before Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection called Abraham's bosom. You can read about that in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. All right? Abraham's bosom was a compartment in hell, but not, it was the non-torment side of hell. Okay? And that was the place that was called Abraham's bosom. That was paradise. Okay? And all the Old Testament saints were there in that place prior to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That's why when Jesus died and went to hell for 3 days and three nights, He went to the spirits that were in prison and preached to them. And He led, in that Ephesians chapter 4, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. When He was raised from the dead, they were raised with Him. He went and preached to the spirits that were in prison. Now today, you and I, after the death, burial, and resurrection, if a person is born again, the instant that they physically die, they're in the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with God. Scripture says that. Amen. Are you with me now? And This is what people are saying. This is what the Word of God says. And when a person's not saved, they go to hell. All right? That's why you and I have a very important job as God opens doors for us to share the gospel with other people. Amen? And I tell you, you just pray that God, this is another day, another subject, but you pray that God will open the right doors for you to witness to people. Amen? Amen? And He will do that. Amen. So, if the words of your mouth changed your eternal destiny, how much more will the words of your mouth change your everyday affairs of your life? Now, let's go to the book of Proverbs here, and I want to show you some scripture here today. Chapter 12, if you would, go to chapter 12 of Proverbs, and I want to show you some scriptures here about the power of your words and the power of your tongue. If you do not like where you're at today, start changing what you're saying. Okay? I was listening to somebody last night, and they said they were poor, but she says, I was po'. She said, I was so broke that they took one of the O's off of poor. You know what I'm saying? I was po'. But the knowledge of God's Word will set us free. Look at this in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says, there is he that speaketh like the piercings of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is what? Health. Now, Solomon, of course, wrote the book of Proverbs under inspiration of God. He was considered at that time, even Jesus said this, that he was the wisest man that was ever on the face of this earth except for Jesus. Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here. Amen. When he came along. But up to that time, Solomon was the dude. He was the one. Are you with me now? And the Bible says that princes and Sheba came from the uttermost parts of that part of that region to come and just sit at his feet and hear his proverb and hear his wisdom. I mean, just think about that. I don't know anybody that smart that people come from 3,000 miles just to sit under their feet just to hear what they have to say. But see, this is the kind of person that he was, and he wrote proverbs. He wrote over 3,000 proverbs, but we only have these that are written here, 31 proverbs. And it says, there is he that speaketh like the piercings of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is what?
Health.
All right? So let me say it to you like this. If you want to walk in health, you got to speak right words. You got to speak right words. Amen? Now, there's a mass persecution for the last 25 plus 30 years of people that come against the subject of confessing God's Word. They call it blab it and grab it, name it and claim it, confess it and possess it. Well, what they don't realize, they're ignorant. They're rude and they're ignorant and they have no idea what they're talking about. Because you can't even be saved without confession. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I blabbed it and I grabbed it. I confess it and I got it. Amen? And your health is directly connected. Now, I'm all for eating good, eating organic if you can, and eating healthy foods. I'm all for that. Okay? We do it. All right? We do the best that we can. But here's the thing I want to mention is this. If it was just eating good, healthy foods that made you healthy, then why were there so many sick people in Jesus' day? Because there was nothing artificial. Everything was organic. There was no MSG. There was no chemicals. But the Bible says every sickness and every disease were among the people. Think about that. So if you just put so much stock in just the natural, and don't put trust, you can still eat organic and eat healthy and still be sick. Are you with me now? Now you say, well, brother, are you preaching against health food? No, not at all. But I'm saying this, our faith has to be in God. I was talking to Len and Kathy Mink when they were just here a couple months ago here in September, or August actually. And what a powerful meeting. But I was talking to them about this, you know. They said, Keith, we have seen this. We have watched this where people, even ministers, have just gotten a hold of the natural part of things and started changing what they're eating, and they still got sick and they still died. Ministers. Okay? So it's not just the natural end of things We have to focus on the Word of God, on the Spirit of God, on the Word of God, on what the Word of God has to say. Now, I hope you hear me correctly. God wants you to eat good. He wants you to eat the best of the land. He wants you to eat healthy and everything, all right? But we don't put 100% stock in just the natural. Are you with me now? We put our stock in what Jesus did for us and His death, burial, and resurrection. Now, it says right here that he that speaketh like the piercings of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. So here's the first clue that if you want to live a healthy life, how many of you want to live healthy in here? Okay. I don't see anyone that wants to be sick. If you want to be healthy, you have to talk health over your body. You got to do it. Okay? You might feel strange doing it. You might feel awkward doing it. But do it anyhow. Hallelujah. Here's a strange thing, you know. If you walk through the mall parking lot, and a guy has a flat tire, you know, and you happen to walk by at that time, and he's kicking that car, saying, "You lousy da 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 da," just a bunch of adjectives, you know, and you wouldn't think twice about it. He's cursing the thing. He's cursing the car. He's having a bad day. No big deal. You just walk past him and go your way, right? Feel bad for the guy, but if somebody was standing there laying their hands on their car and say, "I release blessing over you in the name of Jesus," they're going to think you're squirrely. Yeah. I'm not insinuating that you do that in front of people, but why is it that people embrace and accept the curse end of things? They're talking to a vehicle that can't talk to them back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yet they don't even realize you can talk to your body, right, and speak positive things over your body. You can say things like this: "I have a strong immune system." Say it. I have a strong immune system. Hallelujah. What if you said that every day, once a day, twice a day? I have a strong immune system. That means when flu season that they announce on the weather, on the news comes along, try to freak everybody out, try to scare everybody, you don't have to be afraid of it. Why? The tongue of the wise is health. That's what it says right there. Now, go to Proverbs 13, just right next door. 13 and verse 3. Now, I'm not going to look at all the scriptures on this subject, but I wanted to pick a few this morning to show you the power of your word. So there's life and there's health and there's medicine in your tongue. Now, when everybody else, now I don't know what it is, but some Christians even, now, the world, you understand it, but there are Christians that love to talk about sickness and disease, okay? We have a neighbor that lives up the street from us, a lady. She's a Christian. She's a nice lady. She's a good lady. But every single time we see her or talk to her, every single time, she talks about who has the latest cancer, who's sick, who's got this, every single time we've gotten around her. Okay, so that's on her brain, that's on her thinking, therefore it's in her mouth. She's talking about it all the time. She has faith in the devil's ability to hurt her. Okay, we just pray God have mercy on her. She doesn't know what she's doing. And so Proverbs 13 verse 3 says, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." Do you see that? Keep your mouth, you keep your life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. For example, people say, you know, nothing good ever happens to me. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. You know that? Or something like that. And people make jokes of it. People joke about getting older. Like, for example, "I just had a senior moment." Oh, you had a senior moment. Who determines whether you're senior or not? Think about that. Moses was 80 years old when he started his ministry. Think about that. He's just getting started, 80 years old. And his Bible says his eye was not dim, nor his natural forces abated when he was over 100 years old. Think about that. The tongue of the wise is health. Do not let the world talk you into, when you reach a certain age, something's going to break, something's going to fall apart. Don't do that. Are you with me now? Praise God. Do you have ears to hear this today? Okay. All right. Proverbs 15. Go there. Proverbs 15 and verse 4. Scripture says this. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but a perverseness therein is a breach to the spirit. So notice that, you know, a wholesome tongue is what? A tree of life. There was a tree of life in the Garden of Eden, right? Well, in the New Testament, now, what's the tree of life? A wholesome tongue. If you want to partake of the tree of life, it's speaking right words. Now go to Proverbs 18. Here's one that's tremendous here. Oh my goodness. We have spoken through the years, even get people that would give you permission. Now you can't just run in there and just grab people and make your faith work on them. They have a part in it. They have to give you permission. Okay? I mean, I would love to go down to the nearest hospital and just clear it all out. Just go in there in Jesus' name, be healed in Jesus' name. Wouldn't you like to do that? But you know, you can't just do that without their permission. They have to open their hearts up. They have to be willing to say, will you pray for me? I believe when you pray for me, I'm going to be healed. All right? But notice this scripture in Proverbs 18, verse 20. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Do you see that? Verse 21, it says this, death and life. Do you see that? Death, say it, death and life are in the power of God. Death and life are in the power of the devil. Now, what does it say? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Do you see that? And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So notice here that death words and life words are literally in the power of your tongue. Are you with me now? Now here's another area here. I'll just kind of touch on it. But people make, and I've heard many people through the years, and maybe you've said this or heard someone else say this, to say, you know, when your time comes, like God has a set time for you to die. Do you know that God does not have a set day and hour on His time clock when you're going to check out of this earth? Did you know that? That's not true. But there are people that say, well, you know, when your time comes and nothing you can do about it, you know, you might be 58 years old and all of a sudden you're taken out. That must have been God's time. No. Because you've got to balance. You know, the Bible says you have to rightly divide the word of truth in 2 Timothy 2:15. Mm-hmm. If you rightly divide, you can also wrongly divide the word of truth. Okay, so the Bible doesn't say that the Bible does say it's appointed unto man once to die, but it doesn't say the day or the hour. Now, here's something to just put in your hat, take it home with you here. The Bible says there are things that you can do to lengthen your days on this earth. Yeah, that's right. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul's instructing parents, he said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, that it might go well with you, that you might live long upon the earth. Doesn't it say that? Yes. And you read through the book of Proverbs, there's things that talks about how you can lengthen your days on this earth. Are you with me? So that blows out that theology, that wrong misconception that, you know, there's an appointed time, you're going to die, there's nothing you can do about it. That's a bunch of baloney. Okay? Amen? Is this good news or bad news? It's good news. You can lengthen your days on this earth. Now, if we decide to get in rebellion and we rebel against God, there are things that we can do to take ourselves out from underneath God's protective hand. Are you with me? If you decided to walk out in the middle of the highway right here, you know, you can pray all you want, but there's a good indication you might get hit by a car or a truck because you placed yourself in that position in harm's way. Well, if you can do that in the natural, you can also do that in the spiritual as well. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And that's why death words need to be completely taken out of our vocabulary. Are you with me? Because the devil has twisted things so that he can get in our tongues and say things, you know. For example, people say, I just love her to death. I love you to death. I've had people tell me that. I love you to death.
I'm thinking, no, you don't. That scared me to death. Now, why can't people say that scared me to life? Because that's not how the devil... In fact, the devil's had such a twist on things that when people hit their hand with a hammer or something, you know, who do they curse? God. Jesus, Mary, all the apostles. I've heard people do that, you know. But I've never once, think about this, this tells you he is the prince of the power of the air. I've never once heard someone hurt their hand or stub their foot or something and say, "Ah, Buddha." No. Never. Or some other guru, you know. They've never done that. Because why? Because the enemy wants people to curse God. Okay? So it's not just, you know, something that man made up.
Amen.
All right? Amen. Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Yeah.
And you speak life words, you're going to get life results. Amen. I've spoken life words over people that were supposed to die, and they're still around today.
Right.
Yes. Amen? God. This kind of Christianity is not for wimps. Yes. Now, you can go anywhere you want and hear any kind of fancy message, but if you're not going to hear words of life that are going to set you free, you are in the wrong place, baby. Amen? Because when your back's up against the wall and you got stuff to deal with at home, what are you going to do? So notice it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I like to say, they that have the revelation of it will eat the fruit thereof. Amen? Why can't you say, if anything good's going to happen, it's going to happen to me? Goodness and mercy follow me every day. I say every day, every day, thank you, Lord, that goodness and mercy are chasing me down. I thank you, Lord, that I have favor everywhere I go. And guess what? It happens everywhere I go. Well, Brother Keith, that's just because you're a pastor. No. It happens to whoever will believe the word of God. Are you with me now? So go to one more, Proverbs 21 and verse 23. Proverbs 21. In verse 23, the scripture says this: whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Do you see that? So there is a connection. People that make fun of this stuff, they say, oh, come on, you're just being too ridiculous about this confessing stuff. You know, this stuff does. I can say, what you say has no relativity to what you receive in this life. They're deceived. Okay? There is a... Now, it may not happen instantly, but if you say something long enough and you believe it long enough, it will eventually take place in your life. It will happen in your life. It's a spiritual law. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. If you need money... Now, I don't know anybody here that doesn't need more money. Okay? If you need more money, talk wealth. Talk wealth and riches. You say, I will always have enough money. Amen? I'll always have more than enough. Now, your eyes might be seeing something different. You know, you might be looking at this thing in the natural, but you know what? If you say, I will always have more, God will always take care of me. Listen, there are times in my life I didn't know how we were going to make it sometimes. I've been there more times than I'd like to think. I was like, you know, and if you look in the natural, you can get a little scared. In the natural, you look and say, you know, I've been around this long enough to know what I'm talking about here. But death and life are in the power of the tongue. And it takes someone to bridle their tongue to say, nope, I'm going to speak only what God's word says. I have abundance. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I have abundance. And there's times I've said it, I can't even count how many times, over and over and over and over again. It's better than shutting your mouth and let the devil just run like a rolling thing over you. What's the name of those things? The asphalt, the steamroller. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. It's better than letting the devil just steamroll over you. You could say, no, in the name of Jesus, I have abundance and no lack. I'm above only and not beneath. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. Thank you, Lord. You've made me the head. That's what God told Abraham. That's for us. Praise the Lord. Say, I'm blessed. Now go back. There's two more scriptures I want to look at here today, and we'll call it quits for today. Hallelujah. But in Deuteronomy chapter 30, Deuteronomy chapter 30, And verse 19. Oh my, this scripture is so amazing. Now keep in mind that scripture in Proverbs that we read, that death and life are in the what? The power of the tongue. So we want to be speaking words that will benefit us, correct? How many of you here, just a show of hands, you've spoken the word of God and you saw it bring results in your life? Raise your hand. Okay. I mean, it's okay if you're new to that. That's fine. There's a first time for everything, right? I'll be honest with you. I was a little hesitant the first time I began to do it. I thought, I hope this works for me. I'm thinking this, you know. I mean, there's a first time for everything. There's a first time you ride your bike. There's a first time you drove your car. Hopefully not the last time. Amen. And there's a first time for everything. But just because something's new to you, okay, there's new territory, there's new things in the kingdom of God you don't even know about, okay? But open your mind up to what God has to say, to train you, to instruct you, to teach you. And Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. And notice this, God says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Isn't that interesting? God says, here's this choice and this choice, but here's what you need to choose. He says, you choose life that you, both thou and thy seed may live. Now, that's a powerful scripture, is it not? The Lord says this, I set before you life and death. In other words, here's a choice. Here's an option here, death and life. How many of you want life? Amen. Okay. The Lord says, I set before you life and death. In other words, these are in your life. You're going to have death situations and life situations, blessing and cursing. But he says, you choose life, okay? You choose life that you and your seed may live on this earth, all right? Now, when I read this initially many years ago, the first question that popped in my mind was, how do I do that? How do I choose life? Well, go to John chapter 6. Go in the New Testament. John chapter 6. I want to show you something here of the connection between this scripture and Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. When you choose life, how do you choose life? Notice here, Jesus said this. He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth or maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, notice this, they are what? Spirit. And they are what? Life. So notice that the word of God is spirit and life. Now, when he says in Deuteronomy 30, he says, choose life. How do you choose life? You choose the word of God. Because Jesus said, my words are spirit and my words are life. Do you see how simple that is? Just speak the word only, and thy servant shall be healed. My servant shall be healed. Remember Jesus said, the man said that to Jesus? Just speak the word only. Just speak the word only. Praise God. Just speak the word only. When you speak the word only, that's the results that you're going to get. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See, the kingdom of God is if a man should cast seed in the ground. Amen? You heard Brother Dan teach on that last week? The kingdom of God, that's what Jesus said. If a man should cast seed into the ground, that seed is the word of God. The ground is the heart. And that seed is going to produce. The farmer doesn't know how. He goes to sleep, rises up, goes about his business, you know, and so forth and so on. And he said he wakes up and the seed produces, but he doesn't know how. Are you with me now? But he said the seed produces. Are you with me now? So when you choose the Word of God, when you choose the Word of God, you're choosing life. You're choosing the Word of God. You're sowing life into your life. Now, if you have a sickness or something in your body that's not right, you know, and some type of ailment or something, the best thing that you can do is take a scripture or two and begin to put it in your mouth and begin to confess it over your physical body. You could take 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I was healed. Matthew 8:17, himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. And you can take one or two or three scriptures like this. And what are you doing? You're speaking life over your body. And that's exactly what's going to take place in your body. See, that life in the Word of God is going to drive out sickness and disease. Because the life of God's Word has more power than the devil. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Can you handle one more scripture? Okay, James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Praise God. Verse 1. Now, James, of course, this is our last scripture for today, but James was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. All right? James' parents were Mary and Joseph. Jesus' parents were Mary and God. Remember that? But Jesus had brothers and sisters. James grew up in the same household. He had brothers and sisters. Many of them did not even believe in him until after his resurrection. Did you know that? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So James got to see firsthand how Jesus operated. He got to see exactly what was the real key to his power. And he gives us this revelation right here. So if you grew up in the same household of Jesus, you would have the ability to watch him operate under pressure. You would get to see him function in different situations. Are you with me? And you would see, okay, how does he do this? When the pressure's on, what does he say? Well, he says in verse 1, he says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation or judgment." Okay, he's talking about being teachers. "For in many things we offend all, but if any offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body." He said, "Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." Now, he's using this as an illustration here. He says, look at the ships. He said, "Though they were so great, and they are driven with fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, wheresoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member boasting great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, world of iniquity. So the tongue is among our members, so it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, of birds and serpents and things in the sea, tamed and hath been tamed by mankind." But verse 8 says, "But the tongue no man can tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men who are made after the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. Brethren, these things ought not be." In verse 11, "Does a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? And can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt and fresh." Now, we'll stop right there. But notice that he's talking about the tongue. And he said the tongue is like, first of all, he said it's like the bit in a horse's mouth. Now, when I was younger, you know, my sister and I, thank God my parents sent us off to our Methodist youth camp at that time. In fact, that's where I got saved, okay? But we used to go to, we called horse camp, and you would get your own horse for a solid week. And they would teach you all the basics. It was a Christian camp, you know, and so forth, but we got to pick out our horse and so forth, and it was a really cool thing. And we got to learn how to bridle the horse, how to put the saddle on, how to brush them down. I mean, all the little things that I didn't understand because I didn't grow up on a farm. But I did notice this, that the size of that bridle is only about that big. It's just a little strip of metal. You know what I'm talking about? And the size of that horse is just massive. You know, the strength in a horse is just amazing, you know. But yet that little piece of metal, that called the bridle, when it's placed inside of the mouth of that horse, will determine which direction that horse will go. Now, they taught us how to use it and so forth, how to use the reins, you know, and even how to pull them in reverse. That horse will back up. You pull back, he's going to back up, you know. And I thought, That's exactly what he said. The tongue is like the bridle on a horse. In comparison, if you look at the smallness of that bridle compared to the size and the weight of that horse, there's no comparison. There's no comparison. But yet, that little bridle will determine which direction, right or left, that horse will go. Are you with me now? And I learned that firsthand, all right? Secondly, he talks about the little rudder that controls these massive ships, the rudder. Relatively speaking, if you look at the size of the rudder on a ship, like one of these ocean liners, it is absolutely minute compared to the size, especially nowadays, these big ocean liners, you know? I mean, it's so small compared to the size of that ship, yet that rudder will control the direction of which direction that ship will go. And so he's using this allegory, he's using this illustration, like the bit in a horse's mouth, like the rudder on a ship, will determine which way that thing is going to go. In both cases, the horse is bigger than the bridle. Secondly, the rudder is so much smaller than the ship, but yet they will determine the course of nature and which way they will go. And he said that's exactly like the tongue. Okay? Now when it says there, now don't get discouraged when it says no man can tame the tongue. So you throw your hands up and say, ah, see, I can't, no man can tame the tongue. That's right. But you have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Ghost. Did you ever notice that when, if you got filled with the Holy Ghost and you spoke with what? Notice that when you got filled with the Holy Ghost, you didn't have a better elbow. When you got filled with the Holy Ghost, your feet were better. I'm making a point here. When they were filled with the Holy Ghost, which part of the body did it impact? Your tongue. Your tongue. Because now heaven is hooking back up with your tongue. That's why when you pray in other tongues, when you pray in the Spirit, you cannot pray amiss. Did you know you can't make a mistake when you pray in tongues?
Glory to
now, in English, you can. You can pray amiss in English. You can pray the wrong thing. But in tongues, you can't make a mistake. Now, that is exactly why there's been an absolute war against tongues in the last days. Now, it's always kind of been that way, but you know better than that. Amen? Well, why are tongues necessary? Well, read the Bible. Amen? There's several chapters given to the subject of speaking with other tongues. Amen? But when you pray, and if I'm praying for some of you, now, I pray for the people in this church. I take it very seriously. My prayer for you. And sometimes people go through stuff. Some of you are going through some stuff right now. And some people that are not here are going through some stuff right now. Okay? Now, I do what I know to do is praying the Scriptures over you, and I pray several Scriptures over you, and several in the New Testament, some in the Old Testament, and pray over you, but then I shift gears and I go into other tongues. Because there are things that this natural mind doesn't know about people in the church. I don't know. But the Father does know. He knows. And when we give over ourselves to praying in the Spirit and praying in other tongues, then we can pray about the unknown. We can pray about the unknown. Hallelujah. If anybody here after the service, the only thing that qualifies you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit is to be a Christian. If you know Jesus, you qualify. But if you would like for someone to pray for you after the service, you come up afterwards. I'm going to have Dan and Lisa. Is that okay with y'all? If they've had much experience in this, getting people filled with the Holy Ghost, if you would like to have hands laid on you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll take you in another room, pray for you. We won't embarrass you. It'll be a place where you can receive the Holy Spirit and be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues. It's a marvelous thing. But see, when you allow the Holy Spirit to talk through you and you pray in other tongues, it's the most powerful language that there is. It's God speaking through you using your vocal cords. Praise God. I wasn't planning on talking about this at all. But let me tell you something. It's powerful.
Glory be to God. Let's all pray in the Spirit right now. Shando koro sihe baha sobre de la krendo kusheti balahais eve la barro do kromong rezesh gales benish galaf remen gale galapazondaraka. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. La moratola karamala hasada baraba karabakasada karanakaha. Shehe bidohu shodjobode vebre dia kishe dia shisha. Thank you, Lord God. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There are those that will turn a deaf ear. Listen to me very carefully. There are those that have turned a deaf ear, that will turn a deaf ear to the subject of speaking with other tongues. What they don't even realize what they're doing is they're shutting out the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost. That's a bad mistake. It's a bad mistake. But if you open your hearts up and you receive the fullness of what God has for you, He can set you on another plane that you've never known before. And, you know, let's just face it. There are people that are terrified of this because they don't understand it. Amen? They don't understand it. But God wouldn't give you something that's going to hurt you. Are you with me now? Lynn, you got something?
Verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Will it just, anybody know the answer?
No.
No. Or if he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, hallelujah, will he offer him a scorpion?
No,
absolutely not. But it says here, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Glory to God. That's such a positive scripture there. Because we know that if we ask for the Holy Spirit, that's what we're going to get. We're going to get the Holy Spirit. And it says that in John chapter 7 that Jesus cried out in the last day, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. And it goes on to say that he said that that it shall become in him a river of living water. He shall speak and have rivers of living water that come out of him. Amen. And the river of God is actually on the inside of us. So that's powerful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The river of Almighty God flows out of us when we pray in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you today as we prepare to leave this place. Lord Jesus, we take just a few minutes to pray in the Holy Spirit over our week, Father God. You see what's on up ahead. And when we pray in the Spirit, Father God, we pray out your plan, your will, and your purpose, Father God. So we pray into our future, Father God. We thank you right now that as we pray in the future, it undoes things that might be bad. And we just trust you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. 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 Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Now,
for boldness shall enter into you, and a new anointing shall come. So that boldness I've placed upon you, you shall step in, for my word does come forth in a mighty way. So yield to it. Yield to that boldness, and you'll see your adversary run. Yield to the anointing, and you'll see those walls come down.
Yes,
yield to the anointing, for there shall come a great refreshing. Ha, ha, ha.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Now, it's interesting how that when you talk about the Holy Spirit, that He begins to manifest Himself. Okay? And Brother Dan stepped out as the Lord put it on his heart with a tongue and an interpretation of tongue. Okay? Which equals prophecy. Okay? And Pastor Lynn's got up here and just prophesied. Okay? So what's the deal with that? Why? Because God wants us to know that He's real, that He's alive, that He still speaks to us today. Amen? That He is real, He is alive. And so collectively, we heard what God's will is. Dan, did you have something else? Okay.
I am not a God that's dumb. I am not a God of days of old that those that were worshiping idols always looked for their idols to speak. For you see, I'm not a God that is dumb. I'm a God who wants to speak
yes.
and declare forth
yes.
His heart unto His people.
Yes, Lord.
For today, I begin to manifest in this place even in a greater measure and in a greater authority. Because you've been willing to hear what my word is declared. You've opened your hearts unto me. And as a God, I declare that I love to speak to my people. I love. That's why I've placed my gifts within the body. That's why I've placed the Holy Ghost within. Because I desire to speak to those that have ears to hear. You are the ones that have ears to hear, for you opened unto me. And therefore, I've manifested myself in you and through you. To cause you to realize that I'm not a God that's dumb.
Yes.
I want to speak, saith the Lord, and I want to declare the things that's on my heart to my people. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. He is a God that speaks to us. Amen. Hallelujah. And don't withhold, saith the Spirit of grace, saith the Spirit of the Lord. And do not be surprised when you have resistance to do the thing I've called you to do. That's no surprise to me. When you step out in faith and you do what my word says, and yea, you begin to speak my word, it'll appear. It'll seem as though things are getting worse. It'll appear as though nothing is working. But it is working. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to your confession. For I've said in my word, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. It has great recompense of reward. And hold fast the confession of your faith without wavering. For I am faithful that promised. Hallelujah. For you'll see as you stay steady and you keep the rudder in line and you keep the bit in line, you'll see the ship turn around. You'll see the horse, as it were, turn around. You'll see the circumstances in your life turn around. So don't become weary in well-doing. Do not become weary in speaking my word. For I will bring to pass that which you've spoken. I will bring to pass that which you've said. And there'll be much cause for rejoicing because you'll see it manifest in the flesh. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. So see, collectively today we've the Lord's will and His purpose is made known. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I can just see my spirit going out of here. Oh, my goodness, that
you're going to lay hold of this thing and you're going to start diligently, not that you weren't before, but speaking that word.